Massive Iwe, Let's Be Heard, is a movement to improve mental health in South Africa.
Welcome to the Massive Iwe podcast, a podcast dedicated to helping you learn how to take better care of your mental health and support others who may be struggling with theirs. Coming up this week,
loneliness is something that you feel emotionally, or the connectedness that you feel in your relationships or towards people.
Welcome to the Massive Iwe podcast, a podcast where we'll have conversations that will equip you with tips and tools to support your mental health. I'm your host. My name is Andile Maphosa. We are weeks away from shutting down our laptops, packing up our bags and going away for the holiday season. And for most people, the holiday season is thought of as a time of joy, time of love. But for other people, it's a time of sadness. And that sadness is normally brought about because of loneliness and a couple of other things that happen, which get amplified during the season that we are getting into. But to help me unpack this conversation about how to deal with some of the negative vibes that can come from the holiday season, we have family and relationship therapist Marisha Singh Naika. Marisha, welcome.
Thank you, Andile. It's great to be here with you and excited to be in conversation with you.
Thank you so much for coming through. Before we get started, would you just like to introduce yourself to our audience?
Okay, so I'm Marisha Singh Naika, and I am a family and relationship therapist. I work in communities and then also do counseling and coaching. And my passion is really to see healing in people's relationships.
See healing in people's relationships. And this is pretty much what we'll be talking about with you over the next couple of weeks. We're talking about loneliness. And I read somewhere that the health effects of loneliness are similar to smoking two packs of cigarettes a day. I'm not sure how accurate that is, but how bad is loneliness for our health?
Yes, Andile, definitely there is negative effects of loneliness, especially when it's chronic. Because we all feel lonely at some time in our life. And that's due to many different reasons. But when it becomes a pervasive feeling and when it continues, then I can quite right believe that it has that negative effect of smoking those two packs of cigarettes. So it's bad for your health physically and mentally. Whereas it starts with you mentally feeling it, it then has effects on your health physically as well, negatively. So it can be quite bad if you don't deal with it.
So now I would like to start here. Is there a difference between being alone and being lonely? Because oftentimes whenever we talk of loneliness, people think singleness, but that's not necessarily the case. So there must be a distinction between being alone and being lonely, because we do know that a person can be surrounded by a lot of people and still feel lonely at the same time.
Yeah, definitely. So there is a difference. When we think about maybe the physical aspect of it, when you are alone, it could mean that there isn't any people around you physically. But loneliness is more importantly something that you feel emotionally, or the connectedness that you feel in your relationships or towards people. And that is quite an important aspect for not just our health and well-being, but survival. So you can be in a room full of people, but feel loneliness. Or you can be alone and still be lonely as well, but also you can feel alone and still feel good about yourself. So there's definitely a difference about that.
Thanks for that. And so as we begin to slide into the festive season, how do we start cultivating support for instances where we feel lonely?
So I would definitely say it to find meaningful relationships in your life, whatever that looks like. Now, what could be meaningful for you, like you mentioned, is finding a group of people that are going through the similar experience like you, That's one way of cultivating that support. But there's also a way to look at it in developing relationships that you would feel connection, even when those people are not with you. Because that's what you want to establish. So even if you are not around people all the time, that you have a healthy way of being still being connected in relationships. And that would mean that you have to be proactive in finding wholesome relationships and then maintaining those relationships as well.
You mentioned being proactive in going to make these relationships. I think the big question is, a lot of us at times, we have a fear of reaching out because of some experiences we had reaching out in our childhood. How do we get over these fears of trying to reach out?
Find the root cause of that fear. So sometimes we all have those social awkward moments, or maybe it's not as easy as us for us to interact or engage others to start up a conversations. And there's simple skills that you can learn for that. But when it comes to someone feeling anxiety or fearful about starting up new relationships or establishing new friendships in ways, there's definitely, I would say, let's find the root cause for that. Because there could be many different things that is preventing you from taking that step. And sometimes it's a courageous step or it's a bold step to step out of what you are normally comfortable with or your comfort zone. And so if you're saying, no, I'm fearful of getting out there or of establishing new relationships, where is that coming from? So try and think about that. Then you may be thinking that, oh, it's people are not going to like me, or people may feel I'm boring. So some of those things could be coming from some of the past relationships you've had. It may be negative responses that you haven't gotten over and things that you now need to look at. What is the root cause for my fear? Where is it coming from? And then how do I deal with that? And that might mean seeking therapy or talking to somebody that you feel connected with about that, so that you can resolve some of that. So then it becomes a little easier to step into establishing new relationships.
This theme of reaching out, it seems to be quite prevalent when it comes to a lot of the challenges that people face. How do we actually reach out? What does it look like? Does it look like me going to someone and then being vulnerable? How do I bring myself to that point of vulnerability enough to be able to reach out and say, hey?
So I think vulnerability is definitely a part of that process, but it's definitely not easy to get there. So I would say start off small, start off with the little step. So once you've established, okay, this is where my fear or anxiety is coming from and you're dealing with it, is to maybe start off, do little small things, a hobby, going out for a walk or meeting people at the park. And then just saying a simple hello, how are you? That's a little step, just a little step, just a greeting. Because sometimes we miss each other in the busyness of life, especially at this time, like you're saying, of the season of silliness, they call it, or the holiday time, to be able to just start a conversation with a simple hello and asking people how they are, or what do they do, or where do they come from. And if you feel that it's easy to speak to this person, or if it's easy that you can carry on with the conversation, then you know, okay, I'm doing okay, and to take that first step. And if it becomes something that you are enjoying, you continue with it.
Sometimes people have been burnt.
Yes.
People have been vulnerable. They have reached out and they somehow got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
How can that person get over that fear that someone is going to let them down again?
Yeah, and that's definitely a one that I think goes deeper when you have a fear of, if I do this, I'm going to get hurt again. And some of the walls have come up and it's not easy to bring those walls down. And it's okay. Sometimes we set up those boundaries to protect ourselves. But I think you need to do some assessment or evaluation, okay? And while you are thinking about what is the root cause, you understand the root cause, that it's my past relationships. And I think what would be helpful is to gain some sense of closure from those past hurts or those past wounds that you maybe will still carry into these new relationships. And how can you pull some things that in saying to yourself, this has happened in the past, but how do I now establish new relationships without letting this baggage hang over my head? Mm. And so it becomes important to, even if you do find a safe place to talk about it, to get some therapy about those past relationships. Because when you gain a sense of closure, you are then able to move on to new relationships. Saying that, it's not always easy, obviously, but then to try and assess these walls or boundaries that I've put up, how can I make it more permeable for myself to allow just a little more step of vulnerability, understanding that, yes, there's always a risk, and that's the truth. And to be true to yourself, there is always a risk that I might get hurt, that somebody may not like me, or that somebody may think I'm boring or whatever your fear is, but that I'm still taking a step towards establishing connectedness to another person. And it will also mean that you let down your guard to where you are not totally uncomfortable. You will feel some uncomfortableness, but one that would allow a little bit more to pass through so that you are able then to engage.
I want to switch now to the social media side of life and how social media can easily paint a false picture of what you should expect from your life based on someone else's highlight reel and how your life may seem inadequate. And I'm not saying people shouldn't be online, but how do we help people to disconnect for this season? I think it's something which should be done, just a digital detox for a little bit, especially when you're getting into this season, so that you don't give yourself chest pains.
Yep, I think the social media definitely can give us these unrealistic expectations that that's how life is supposed to be, because people do put out their best or what they would want others to believe is the best aspects about their lives. I don't think many people share when they are not looking good or when they are crying or when things are, and that kind of gives us, oh, everything is going so good for somebody else. And sometimes the social media, like you're saying, does become addictive, where we keep on scrolling and we keep on looking, and it feeds into some of the unhealthy, negative thoughts that we already have. And again, establishing a boundary and a discipline will be important. If it means, especially if you know that this is going to make me feel even less about myself or make me even more lonely, you don't have to have your phone with you all the time. When there are times that you are eating, put it away, or when the times that you can stay without looking at it, keep your phone or wherever you are checking your social media accounts. If that doesn't help at all, if you can't be that disciplined to put it off, then switch off those devices completely. And if not, I would even say for a certain time to delete your accounts, just so that if you are not disciplined enough, because for some people, you can put your phone there and leave it for 2 hours or so, and you can deactivate just your account for that time, or even just take out that app from your device. So then you can always re-download that app in a few days' time or maybe a week's time. So then it's not there, and if you want to get it, I'm going to have to download it again and wait for it to upload all my messages and things like that. Those are some things that you can do. The best thing would be to have that healthy discipline not to check it all the time. But not all of us are there, and that's okay. So then that's when I would say delete the apps for that time, so that you give yourself space just to breathe, just to find other ways to engage with nature, with getting out there, with rewiring your brain, so to speak, appreciating some of the things that would heal you when it comes to leaving social media and the toxicity that comes with it.
The beauty is a lot of these devices now come with digital health apps, which can say, okay, yes, from this time to this time, you can't have access to these and things like that. And I think it's good for people just to actually start using them, because again, we're not knocking down social media. We know sometimes that's the only way you can stay connected. It's just that sometimes with social comes in a lot of other information and other things that might just throw you off and, like we said, give you chest pains. Slightly related to this, you scroll through the feed and people are out here living their best lives. Sometimes it makes you take the focus off what you do have in your life and you start focusing on what you don't have. So how can we stop focusing on what we don't have, but actually start focusing on what we do have, or focusing on the people who we do have around us rather than focusing on what we think we don't have?
I think that's an important one. And this often becomes something that we don't recognize how important we need to establish. This is appreciation and gratefulness, and then just celebrating that. So I would say, even if you have a gratefulness journal or appreciation list, to even jot that down and to be grateful for the simple things that you often maybe take for granted or that you overlook. So relationships of having good, healthy connections that you already have, and to even say to people, especially over this time, how much they mean to you and how grateful you are for having them in your life. And I think that will come to people resources and as well as some of the other resources that we have, to be grateful for it and to say that out loud, especially to people in our lives, and to make sure that we are thanking them. So appreciation and gratefulness, I think, is one of the most important ways to start off in terms of recognizing what we already have. And that becomes important. The other aspect is to engage with others who are maybe different from us or who have different stories from us. Even if it's reading someone's bio or finding out more about somebody, you realize then these are the things that I'm grateful to have in my own life. And that only comes with the interfacing of another or learning more about someone else's life. So I would say those are two aspects definitely to engage in as we think about our own social circles, our own life, and what we have, and how to be grateful for that.
Thanks so much for that. And as we wrap up this conversation where we focused in on loneliness, what would you like to tell people to think about as they get into the festive season with regard to how they can mitigate the feelings of loneliness that might come with the season?
Definitely to be proactive if you're feeling lonely, like we talked about. That yes, you can be alone and be okay, but also when you are alone, you do feel more lonely. So try and establish those healthy connections, whether it's a phone call, whether it is going and doing something like we talked about earlier, and then to make sure that you are not falling into chronic loneliness where you are moving towards despair, to watch out for that and then to reach out, especially over this holiday season where we see suicide rates really go up, to make sure that you have a plan that if I'm feeling this way, this is who I'm going to call. Just a 30-second call or just a minute, or this is how I'm going to reach out. So I would say definitely to watch out for those things, but in your loneliness, try and find proactive ways that would get you out of the emotional loneliness, and I guess the physical loneliness as well, that can then establish good and healthy connections with others.
Be proactive. Be careful about the loneliness becoming chronic. Reach out. Ultimately, that is what we say, especially during this time when you reaching out might actually be helping someone who might be feeling lonely throughout the festive season. Marisha, thank you so much for this conversation.
Thank you, Andile.
And that's it for this week. To find help in your area, visit our website at www.masivue.org.za. Click on Get Help and scroll to the mental health map. For more tips and tools to support your mental health, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and X at Masivue.za.